You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
All right, folks. Welcome back to the latest Mountain West Wire football podcast. Week 10. Dude, week 10 preview. MWWire.com. Find all of our stuff we like to write about, previews, random stuff we discuss, like rankings and the playoff stuff is out, because that's here with Josh. And we're like, we discussed literally 5 seconds ago. Do we talk about it? Yeah, we'll wait till next week, right? When we know what's going on. Yeah.
Just to give it another week.
And I do like the Twitter guy, 20 followers, people are arguing with. I'm like, I'm done with this after a minute. Tulane fan, get over yourself. Enjoy the ride. But we're getting to a rivalry game here. Friday Night Football, CBS Sports Network. Your Colorado State Rams are traveling to Laramie, Wyoming. What is the actual distance? I've driven that before. Is it less than 100 miles between Fort Collins and Laramie?
I think it's less than 70 miles.
It's pretty close. About an hour drive last time I recall. Because I've driven from Salt Lake City to Air Force Academy for something. And I know Colorado Springs to like Fort Collins about an hour. Is that the case?
No.
Shorter?
It's 45 miles to from where I live to Fort Collins. Mm-hmm. And it's like another hour and a half from where I live to the Springs.
Okay.
Yeah. It's about 2 hours. According to Google Maps, it's 133 miles.
Okay, I thought it was a touch closer. Still, that's a close rivalry.
Yeah.
The Bronze Boot, they had the boot. So what's it called? The Bronze Boot Walk or Run on Thursday they had tonight?
Yeah, it's the Bronze Boot Run. So the away team's ROTC battalion relay runs the ball up to the border. CSU has the longer run, especially when they are the away team because it's uphill. Mm. So I think it's like 40-something miles, and then Wyoming takes it like 20-something miles to their stadium. There's a whole ceremony up there. CSU fires their cannon, so...
It's exciting. I like rivalries. That's what you want to do, college football. The Bronze Boot. So this particular game, Wyoming's a 5.5-point favorite at home. What we've seen enough of the Rams. Like, you're a Rams guy. I saw them in person. You see them quite frequently in person. What is your thought against Wyoming? Because we see what Wyoming cannot do on offense. Like, literally, they cannot do offense. That's what I'm getting at. They don't have offense all that much.
Yeah.
Is this a game where, like, Harrison Whaley comes in and after missing a bit, he comes back at his full strength? Is Torrey Horton healthy for the Rams? Like, could he do something against his defense?
I mean, we'll have to see. I know Torrey Horton's a game time decision because he was held out the entire second half against Air Force. There's a couple other injuries that CSU has. It all depends. Like, everyone's hurt this time of year. They're all hurt. Like, it's just a matter of, is it bad enough for it to be an injury? So that's just it. It's like everyone takes knocks. You know, Harrison, like Boise State, just like, I mean, I think Jesse said that, you know, Craig Bell said there were no major injuries coming out of last week's game against Boise. They just got crushed. So it's just a matter of how effectively are they recovering. So like, I know Whaley missed the previous week. So now it's a matter of, all right, did he get the rust off against Boise, and is he now full strength against Colorado State? That's something you're gonna have to wait and see.
Yeah, that's a big deal because what do you think the bigger loss is for, say, Whaley's still kind of coming back, or Horton? Is it who do you think is the bigger loss for, like, who? Well, not the better player, clearly, because I think we all agree Torrey Horton's a better player. If either team doesn't have that player, who does it impact more? Do you think? Because I think it's Wyoming.
Yeah, I think if Whaley isn't there, I think that's the bigger hit for them. I know they had – when did he go out? Did he miss Wyoming completely? Or, sorry, did he miss the Air Force game completely?
Yes, he didn't play that game, yeah. Did not
play. I mean, they were able to hold their own a little bit. You know, Andrew Peasley stepped up. So it's just a matter of, all right, if someone gets shut down, who steps up? I mean, that was one of my keys for CSU in case the starters couldn't go because one of our Cam Barreto is potentially out. Chigozie Anuzium is potentially out as well. So it's just a matter of, all right, who steps up next? You know, Justice Ross Simmons was the leading receiver last week. So if Torrey can't go, he's probably number one. Then, you know, Lewis Brown, and we can't forget about, you know, Dalen Holker.
Yeah.
So it's just a matter of, all right, Dylan Goffney, the SMU transfer, who else is going to step up after that? Because that's really who's going to make the difference for both teams. Because, you know, if Whaley's on a pitch count, like who actually steps up? You know, Andrew Peasley's the next leading rusher on the team.
Yeah, all these guys get injured and not playing. Like DQ James is not around, he got removed from the team, stuff like that. And so if they had their depth, they think it's why I'm gonna usually find a guy to do it, but they've had so many guys no longer available. That's gonna be an interesting thing. I just can Peasley throw it off because when I was watching the UNLV CSU game, CSU held UNLV to 6 field goals. So yeah. Their defense can step up when needed. And if Wyoming, like, they're like zero dimensional team. Like, what do they do? Like, they are sitting at, 5-3. Like, this is not a knock on them. I know Peasley does have 13 touchdowns and 3 picks, which is quite well. But he only has 1,000 yards through 7 games. His completion rate's a little bit better than we thought. But I would bet anything, like, okay, you're playing the Rams. Okay, beat us passing through the air. Like, is Wyatt Willen, with his 26 catches, going to beat you? I don't know. I hear Asante has a deep threat potential. But nothing really scares me about the Wyoming offense. I think the Rams defense could do well enough. And they have just more options. Do you know the update if Morrow's going to play? Is there anything with him? Because he didn't play last week.
He did play last week.
Or no stats, I should say. That's what it was, right?
Yeah, he was only in for a couple of plays. It may be a pitch count type of thing because it was a knee injury that he was coming back from. So we'll see. I mean, the reason they've been running with Van Shield as the running back besides Kobe Johnson being out for the season with a back injury is he's a very good pass protector. And that's kind of what they were missing at the beginning of the year just a little bit is some good pass protection. You know, I mean, like we all joke that, you know, he got the Captain America serum at the beginning of the year because one of the pictures that got taken during photo day was just like he's just this ripped guy in a football uniform. So he brings that strength to the ground game that was kind of missing from the team.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I'm trying to think like what's the difference between these two teams because the Rams they're probably better than the record a little bit, but I would say this when we look at. Well, Wyoming, for like their defensive line, they're supposed to be like really, really, really good. I didn't realize this stat. I'm looking at trib.com. They put a couple things together. Wyoming only has, they're 99th in the country in sacks with 14. Like they had Devon Harris, who has 3, but they're not, like they got no sacks against Boise last week. Their pass rush isn't, because we're all saying defensive line is like the best in the country, or best in the conference, and one of the best in the country. They're not living up to that, and maybe they can get a chance with the Rams' offensive line and what. They like what they can or can't do. Because what? How many times has a – I don't have in front of me, but what's the sack rate for CSU?
Oh, it's a lot better this year.
I know it's better. I was trying to recall exactly what it is. How many times – yeah, because I had Wyoming sack up. He's been sacked 13 times, Peasley. But they've been 10, 11
they've
total.
Only given, I would say they've only given up 11 sacks on the year.
So, and 10 against with Braden Fowler and Nicolosi. So – that's an area where, well, they've improved quite a bit, and Wyoming's not what they were, or what we expected. If they can get after the quarterback, that's, like, it's a dumb key for anything, but if they can be what we thought they would be, that's a possibility. And if the running game is just okay and they know they're going to throw more, maybe they can manipulate or do something creative to get out there. But even if, not having Torrey Horton could kind of, or even limited, could be an issue in this situation just because you have one less guy out there. But Wyoming needs to have that pass rush, clearly. And If they don't, that's still not a death sentence against this team. Defense is still really good. They're just not elite. And so that's just something if we're looking for, like, to level up and take the next step. Like, okay, get a sack or two, cause a lot more pressure. And that's, I think, an area where if they do it, it's added bonus. But I don't think it's necessary to win, but just be, like, a nice to have, I think.
Yeah, I think both of these teams are, like, if they can just get an okay offensive performance from the area they struggle in, you know, it's then it becomes a literal coin toss.
Yeah,
because if both teams have, you know, they do great at what they normally do, they get an okay performance, then it's going to come down to execution and who does their job better.
I don't know, man. I know it's just like 6 points, 5.5. That seems a lot, though. Because over, it's going to be a slower scoring game, obviously. It's not going to be, weather's not going to be a problem like the Air Force game last week. I want to lead Wyoming, but like nothing screams to me Wyoming should win this game because they're this much better in all these areas. They don't have the better quarterback. The receivers aren't as good. Their pass game's not very great. Their defense is great, but not elite. Whereas the Rams have one of the best All-American, like, in defense, essentially. They have a better, more passing options on offense, a better quarterback who can throw. If you're just going to look at who these teams have, like, there should be, like, honestly, the Rams should be better than what they are at 5-3, or 3-5, excuse me.
Yeah, I mean, there's, and that's part of the learning process for this team is, you know, they have to learn how to win. Because there's three games this year that they absolutely had a chance and it should have won, you know, if they hadn't, you know, either just something happened last minute that went wrong, or, you know, they just laid an egg for Utah State. But it's just, and I think Wyoming has a little bit of an advantage here just because, you know, most of these kids have been in the system the entire time. This is Craig Bull's 10th year. They know how to win at home. I mean, Wyoming is undefeated at home this year. That's good. One advantage they have going for them right now. But I literally think this one is going to come down to execution, is who's going to execute better in all three phases. Because we've seen special teams make an enormous difference for the Rams this year, especially.
Well, and Wyoming has a great kicker as well. And so it's like they have good field goal units, good. Like Muhammad Kamara, who I mentioned briefly, like 10.5 sacks for the Rams. Like, that's freaking ridiculous. That's more than – it's almost as much as the whole Wyoming football team has right now for the sacks on there. They have, 14, I think it is?
It is more than New Mexico has as a team.
I think Wyoming's going to win, but I'm not comfortable with it.
So I told you this. Do you remember what I told you on Sunday about why I'm picking CSU to win?
I don't recall, but remind everybody.
It is the Ring of Win in Denver.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, explain that again for everybody.
So if you look at the schedule for the past week between the Denver Broncos, the CU Buffs, and the CSU Rams, there is one win to go around between the three of them. It has held true for the past few weeks. So Denver is on a bye this week. The Buffs play Oregon State, and there's no chance they win that game. So I'm picking CSU. I mean, I feel like this is one of those bounce back wins for CSU. Like, there's been some other wins. I think they beat them in football or volleyball this past week. They beat them in what other sport did they beat them in this week? And then CSU's in the soccer championship as well, and that's being held in Laramie too. So CSU has, you know, some momentum on their side school wide wise. Now it's just a matter of, can the football team continue that?
That'd be fun, right?
Yeah. In my prediction post, or in my Rams keys post, I said CSU is going to win 24-20.
God, it hits the over at 41.5. I just, like, when you think about who's going to win these games, who has the best player on the field? Like, who's the best player? When you look overall,
CSU, if we're not accounting for injuries, Torrey Harden.
Well, I know, I'm just saying in general, like, which team has the better playmakers? Like, Muhammad Kamara. Toy Horton, if Harrison Whaley's healthy, same thing with him. I think CSU has more playmakers, right? Like, they have the best tight end in the conference, best receiver in the conference, one of the better quarterbacks in the conference. Like, he has 11 picks. That's a big concern. If Wyoming picks him off twice, it's game over. So that's the one area. If CSU's going to win, they can't. I'd say they maybe one pick max for Nicolosi.
That's well, about he hasn't. It. He's. It say he's only thrown a pick in the past few weeks.
That's good. So keep that trend up. But also playing Wyoming's defense is a bit better than UNLV. But that's a good way. I know he's improved on that. But I'm just it'll come back again because I'm looking throughout the season. Like I know he had 3 versus Utah State, 2, 3 versus Colorado. So 6 were a while ago, over a month ago. He's only had 4 in October. But again, 3 were 1 game, 0 the past 2. If he can keep that trend going. That's a way to win, but I'm going to lead Wyoming, but it's going to be, I'm going like 17-14 Wyoming. Super close, super low, defensive game, that type of thing.
I mean, I think CSU can win those too. I mean, their defense has stepped up.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they last year was only a one-point game, so it's just a matter, like, it'll be my third time saying it, but it's just going to be a matter of who executes more and better.
I agree. I think it'll be close. I'm not surprised with whoever wins this game. It wouldn't shock me. Because I do think CSU is better than their record. If CSU wants to go to the bowl game, they must win this one.
Not really.
No? You don't think so?
They play San Diego State, Nevada, in Hawaii.
I forgot. Oh, okay. My bad. I was trying to pump it up, man. It's an important game. I'll say this. If they want to be comfortable with the bowl game, they need to win.
Yeah, if they want to be comfortable, yeah, they have to win. If they're okay with no margin for error, then...
They can live dangerously. They could go. This legit could be a 7-5 team. That's wild.
Yeah.
All right. Next game. We move on to Saturday, 12:30 Mountain Time. Army versus Air Force. And I'm glad you pointed. I think as you pointed out, being played at the home of the Denver Broncos for some reason. So Air Force.
Well, I found the article about. I forget if it was Brett Brigman who wrote it, but it was in the Springs paper. They're doing construction on Falcon Stadium.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
So the capacity was dropped to 38,000 for this year. Hmm. And the last time Army played at Air Force, they had 41,000 people show up.
Okay. And there could be, what is that mild high feel? Probably do 60 plus, easy?
It's close. It's a little over 70, but okay. I also looked at tickets this morning because I considered going. They only have the lower level and club level open.
So pricey.
So probably 40 to 50 would be max.
Nice. And so this technically would mean Air Force has 2 neutral site games they played this year. Because Army, when they played Navy, it was out in Annapolis. They played at NRG when they played St. Mason State. Now they're playing here. Interesting. But they face Army, who's not great this year, going through a transition offense. They're not typically doing the triple option dive attack. They do that if they've only won 2 games, but when they get some sort of lead, they do kind of revert back to that a little bit. But they are not necessarily doing what they've done historically.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I don't know if they're still doing it, but I watched the UTSA game a little bit. They were running the triple option from shotgun.
Yeah, that's what they do. It's mixing. I think what they're doing, which is smart, is that I know Brady Hoke did this the first time around at San Diego State when they went from power running, like with the a lot of passing to kind of basically they want to make the talent, mix the talent with what they have. So it's not like with their coach, they can't just change 100% away from it. So they're going to mix in of what they want to do with what they have. And so they've been doing both, but they've been kind of moving away a little bit from that. But they've also lost 5 in a row. They've only beaten UTS. I don't know how they beat UTSA, man. And that was like a month ago or 2 months ago. Seems like forever ago. And they also beat Delaware State. So we don't have to expect rivalry game. Air Force is a huge 17.5-point favorite. You see the line's 32.5?
Yeah.
I think it's the second lowest because isn't the Iowa line like 29.5 somehow? And like 5 point favorites?
They're playing Northwestern.
Okay. Would you take the under that game?
If I was betting on the Iowa game, I would take the under.
I'm too afraid to do it when I see their games. I'm like, I did take one. I won a weird parlay where I put the under. Maybe when they played Wisconsin, I took the under. I took them to cover because I think it was like 17-10, and they're like 3-point favorites. And I picked some other random game for like $50. I'm like, okay, that's cool. But I took the weirdest parlay. I'll take the under and then the cover. But this is interesting line because not just line, but remember last week Air Force and or recently Air Force Navy, that was came out exactly.
It was only 17-6.
Yeah, but it's still it's a low scoring game. Zach Lear, I guess, is healthy despite wearing that heavy brace. Are we still believing he's okay?
No, I mean, Sean brought it up after our conversation on Sunday. He's like, he's not the same athlete he was. He's not the same explosive. You know, they've leaned a little bit more on, you know, Emmanuel Michael and there's Emmanuel Michelle and
Eldridge.
Yeah, they've leaned more on them. I also noticed in the CSU game, they were splitting Eldridge out wide. So I don't know if that's something they've been doing all year or if that's just something that they've been doing since Larry got hurt. But, you know, it is something that, you know, teams are now having to account for when one of their star running backs or star split backs is, you know, he's out wide. You know, what are they doing with him?
Yeah, and I know also those two, when they're passing, they weren't going downfield. I wonder if that's something that's a plant foot because they're doing short passes last week.
And that was more because of the weather.
I'm just saying, hey, think of this way. Your weather, your knee slip, why would you want to play? Like, it's all together, I think. I could say a little bit, maybe. I could be completely wrong, but both could be right. You know what I mean? Like, why throw deep when it's wet and rainy or cold? But yeah, ticket sales. Let's see. I'm trying to see what it exactly is here. Because you said there's, 50,000 sold? I wonder how many.
I think that could be max capacity.
I'm trying to see it here. There's a couple things. They had Notre Dame, 56,000 in 2002. Oklahoma, 2001. The renovated stadium, 46. It's interesting. I want to see a big crowd. But so we look at what Army's done, which is not a ton this year. With them with not having their traditional offense and playing, how they've just been not a good team. So they beat, as you mentioned, Delaware State and UTSA. They got beat by UMass last week, man. They got this team's not good. They lose. They get their butt kicked by a bad UMass team. They're terrible. And I don't know what they don't really do much of anything well because clearly we know they don't throw the ball. They do more than in pass because, believe it, do you know how many passes they've thrown all year? Do you want to take a guess through 8 games?
Let's say 75.
133. That's quite a bit for the Army, for the Armed Forces, right?
Yeah.
So like they're throwing out more, but still Brandon Daly's quarterback, still doing his thing. He has a couple touchdowns. They run reasonably well. They still run a million guys out there, but they just don't – like they're in a year where they're moving from running exclusively triple option with two receivers. Now they're actually passing the ball a good amount. They're barely completing 50% of the passes. This is a game Air Force like literally should run away with. There is no reason they shouldn't win, but 17.5 is a lot. I don't know if they'll get there. But I don't like – we see what Air Force defense can do. You mentioned what they're making a few tweaks on offense with Eldridge. I don't know if Army can keep pace or do anything offensively against his defense. Like their best runner is their quarterback, which is not out of the ordinary. But they have guys like Kenya Uda who does okay. But he's like 300 yards, I should say, in the year. They don't have a defensive player with more than 2 sacks for the year. They don't have many receptions. They only have 4. They don't do a lot of anything because they have no elite defender. There's a reason they're 2-6, man.
It's a Bradbury game. We'll see.
Oh, you got to lean on that. Are they going to cover? Because that's my most interesting thing is they can cover because I don't think they will. That's too many points.
I mean, Navy sucks and they covered against Air Force.
By half a point.
They still covered.
I know, but this is 17.5, not 10.5.
Army's going to cover.
I agree with you. I'm saying, but 8, this is too many for Air Force to do it.
Oh, too many. Yeah, too many for Air Force. Yeah.
I'm going to go. I think it's going to be 20-7.
That was going to be my pick.
Yeah, I go first. I win. All right. So both of us pick 20-7. All right. Next game, 1 o'clock Pacific at Mackey Stadium, Hawaii versus Nevada. We thought last week's game, Mexico versus Nevada. This is even worse, right?
Yeah, I mean, you got Nevada beating New Mexico 34-24. Mm-hmm. We thought Hawaii was going to do something against San Jose State. I think we had San Jose State winning, but we still thought they were going to do something. Yeah. I really don't know what to think of Nevada, because, you know, are they turning a corner, or are they just playing teams down that are now at their level? I really don't know. I mean, Nevada's 3.5-point favorites. The over-under is 50.5. That seems like a trap game, at least from the spread. I would, if I was putting money on the game, I'd be putting it on the over. I wouldn't touch the money line or the spread.
Yeah, 50 seems like a lot for Hawaii. Were they? Sorry, you mentioned the score. They got shut out last week, right? 47-0. Yeah. 35-0. They got shut out. Nevada scored 6 points versus Nevada. 34, or excuse me, versus San Diego State. 34 last week versus New Mexico. If you forced me to do something on that, we'll get some more of the game details. But if you forced me, I would take the under to heart. I think the under is a good bet, man. 50.5. There's no way they're scoring 50 points.
Before the loss to San Jose State, mm-hmm. Hawaii was averaging 60 points. 60-something points. Let's see, Nevada, you know, 58, 6, 72, 36, and 59. I think the over hits easy.
You think so? Yeah. I don't know, man. Hawaii's not scoring many points. But they're giving up so many points. That's your thing. That's like, I don't
know. So is Nevada.
That's what I'm wondering. That's the only thing I'm wondering about. Like, if both defenses so bad, these offenses are going to do something special?
Or you could be right. I mean, I thought the same thing was going to happen with CSU and UNLV. True. Because both defenses aren't that good there. And then it actually turned into a defensive battle.
Yeah.
So it's just a matter of, you know, who steps up. I don't think the defenses are going to step up. I mean, they might. I think the offense is a run of the day.
I don't know. I would say if you're going to give me a team, I'd go Hawaii. Would have more upside. They have more playmakers in the offense.
Like, yeah, I mean, if you're going back to the CSU Wyoming side, yeah, mm-hmm. I think Hawaii definitely has more playmakers, because we haven't really seen much of anything outside of Brandon Lewis for Nevada. Mm-hmm. I don't know what else to say besides that this isn't the Sickos game of the week, because the Sickos game of the week is Iowa and Northwestern.
This is a close.
Which, to close be second. Fair, is correct.
You're right. It's just close, because Nevada has Lewis and Sean Dollars. No, Jamal Bell has the most receptions, but De'Lavion Campbell has come up big with a big, like, I guess
he is
total yards. I guess. Point. Yeah.
To be fair, how many touchdowns does Nevada have passing?
4. Because AJ Bianco's played a hair more. That's 2. Brendan Lewis has 2 as well, but 6 picks.
They've been sacked 21 times.
Yeah. Hawaii's winning.
For a running quarterback, that seems wrong.
Yeah, well, it does.
Maybe that's why he's running so much.
He's running for his life back there. I think Hawaii's going to run away with this one, even though they're on the road. It'd be crazy if Nevada were to win 3 in a row, but I'm going to go 28-6 Hawaii. I think Brandon Shager's going to have a big game, not turn over a ton. I just don't think Nevada has any offense to do anything. Well, I don't know, man. It's hard to say. I'm going back to what you mentioned, how many points Hawaii's given up all these games.
Yeah. Yes, I mean, they're like 35, 42, 41, 40.
But Nevada's just dreadful on offense. Okay, I'll make a slight change. 28-24 Hawaii. But then it goes against me taking the under. I don't know what to do, man. Hawaii's going to win, but it's going to be kind of close, because Hawaii just blew the bed last week. They're terrible.
I'm doing 20 points more than you. I'm going 38-34.
I don't have a read on this game. They both are terrible. They both have bad defenses. Their offenses aren't very special. So you're telling me, Josh, you think because the defenses are so bad, these offenses are going to come alive? Both of them?
Yes. Yes. or it could be completely wrong and we see CSU UNLV.
30-10 Hawaii over Nevada. Moving on before I change my pick again. UNLV at New Mexico. This game.
How many times are you going to change this one?
Oh, no, I'm locked in on this one. UNLV versus...
No, not this one. We'll get to it.
Yeah, I was going to say the next one. Yeah, we'll get there. Oh, yeah, we got a good game of the week down the road. This game is on Mountain West Network, themw.com/watch. Also, it's on the, Silver Sports Entertainment Network if you're in Nevada.
It's in Nevada, so I don't know. Or excuse me.
No, it is. I saw it earlier. It got picked up for a local broadcast. I'm not sure if it's in Albuquerque. I should check on that, but I didn't.
It is. It's at New Mexico.
No, I meant the TV-wise.
The channel? No, I think it's a Nevada regional thing.
Okay. All right. So Rebels are a 10-point favorite. Over-under is a lot, 61.5.
Well, New Mexico, 24-42, 24-26, 34. For UNLV, 24-25, 45-44, 45. Did New Mexico play UTEP this year?
They did not.
They played. Why did they think they did?
They probably have recently.
I don't know. I mean, we saw UNLV almost beat Fresno last week. They probably should have. New Mexico kind of laid an egg against Nevada.
I would say this. New Mexico's offense is showing a little bit more, but also helps when you play a team like Nevada. Yeah. Because you had Dylan Hopkins, but he had three picks. They brought in Devin Dampier for a minute. So that's the main reason, that clearly, when we talked recap, why Nevada was able to get the win, because Hopkins had a bad game. And if he has that type of game, they're run out of their home stadium, their university field, their university stadium.
UNLV is 12 picks on the year.
Yeah. Which is it's not good. It's not awful, but it's also not good. You know what I mean? But when you look at what Lobos have done, so you're hoping, if you're on that aspect, that Hopkins doesn't have the picks again last week, the offense is moving a little bit more. And also, we should note real quick, obviously, JDMIF is basically a starter until proven otherwise.
As much as they want to say, Brumfield's still the starter, he's obviously not.
I tell the guys, it's still on the depth chart. I'm like, please. There's coaches that don't change their depth chart from week one. University of Utah, know what their depth chart is? It's basically a wish list. If these guys are healthy, they're starting. So they had Cam Rising QB1 for a month.
Is he going to play this year?
No, he's out for the year. It's been announced. That's a whole thing I don't want to spend 45 minutes talking on, because there's a little... power play between doctor and team and coach and player. Yeah. So it's lame. The depth chart, it's my Ava. But I do think New Mexico, because we saw what UNLV's defense can do here and there. Like, they played pretty good versus CSU when I saw them there. They have some players that can do type of things. But I think the real key for how bad the game is going to be if Hopkins has an interception, which is clearly to say no picks, one pick, you're fine. But he was frustrated last week. He was upset how it came. He was frustrated, which makes sense. We played terrible. And three picks is the first time they had it all year. Like, when you hear Coach Vincent talk there, the OC is like, well, we've never been there before. And he's never had this type of game. It might have been his worst game of his career. Because he even literally said right here, I probably had the worst first half ever. And that's a him issue. He's not blaming coaches, not anything else. It's just him not playing well. And so maybe he comes out and pissed and like, okay, I'm going to have a great game. Because everybody backs him. Coach Gonzalez is like, oh, we'll be fine. He's ready to go.
I also think he's shown that, especially against Hawaii.
Yeah, player of the week.
I mean, San Jose State is San Jose State. He had New Mexico in it against Wyoming. He just had an off game.
And when your team that does have great players, you have off game, it's going to snowball.
Yeah.
But I do think Maeva and Ricky White and guys UNLV has – UNLV is a team where they're clearly overachieving. I like what Brendan Marion's doing offensively. They get a lot of different people involved with what they're trying to do.
And that's actually what's been surprising to me, is they have been getting so many people involved, but they've been consistent with it. Like, there isn't that much of a drop-off between the rotations.
Yeah, just look at the running back situation. Vincent Davis, Lester, and Jet Thomas – all have about 70-plus carries. Even Courtney Reese has 47 carries. They're fresh. They're depth of running back. The receiving group is not as deep. They have a lot of people involved, but it's mostly Ricky White and Jacob DeJesus. Oh, sorry, I stepped on. Something was stuck on my keyboard. I apologize. They have like literally two receivers. So that's the thing. They only have three with 10 plus receptions. So as much as Maiv is doing, he's not really throwing too many touchdown passes. There's seven on the year for the team, and he has all of them.
At this point, UNLV is a better Wyoming.
Oh, even defensively?
Offensively. Okay. Offensively, UNLV is a better Wyoming. They are what Wyoming wants to be offensively.
Yeah, the only difference, what they need is a receiver and a quarterback who can complete more than 57% of his passes. And Maiv is at 64.
Yeah.
So he's mobile enough to not get sacked. He runs a little bit, but not really. Because he has 36, whatever you call it, carries. That includes sacks as well. So really 30 rushes.
Sacks include.
Yeah, so six sacks, six carries, so 30 carries. So still a couple a game. Like, he's still moving a little bit, but he also has one huge run. I don't think New Mexico has a chance, man. Like, defensively, same thing on defensively as a running back. They have a lot of guys with one or two sacks on the year. They have 19 for the year, which is really good. They get after quarterbacks. They have, like, Jonathan Baldwin is doing quite well this year. Like, Jackson Woodward leads the team by far in tackles with almost 70. Cam Oliver's as a DB, has two sacks and two picks. Like, he's all over the field. Forced a fumble as well. They have a lot of guys, a lot of different areas. There's no way New Mexico can keep up. Like, this, if this is closer than two touchdowns, I'd be shocked.
I'll say 42-27 UNLV.
Whoa! Yeah, I can see that. I still don't know if New Mexico can get that many points. I'm going to go 30-10. It'll be a little bit closer. I think UNLV will settle for a couple of field goals like they do sometimes.
I mean, they got 26 against Wyoming.
Good point, yeah. I know. I don't know, 61.5. No, I'll change. I'll go 40-17. That's still under. But I think they'll win pretty easily, though. 40-17, my final pick there. Sorry, Roger. The Rebels are not going to do well this week. Utah State, San Diego State. Oh, my gosh. Do we have to watch this game? Do we have to be part of it? I can't stand San Diego State. 4 p.m. Pacific, FS1. Aggies are
3. How is this on FS1?
What do you mean?
I posted the tweet about how it is on FS1, but still, how is it on FS1?
What channel should it be on? Mountain West Network, streaming only?
It should have stayed on FS2.
Stayed on FS2. Blame the Rangers for winning the World Series early after 5 games. If you want to see this game, BYU West Virginia is on Fox, and that game is not going to be all that impressive.
It'd be better than this one.
I've had to watch BYU for work. You might be wrong. I've had to watch both. And BYU announced they had to go with the backup quarterback because Keaton Slovis is injured.
Oh, yeah.
And so. And
well, go watch ABC or something.
Yeah, sure. Go watch something. No, stick it on UNLV New Mexico and then tune into this one occasionally. But this game, so we don't know. Coach Blake Anderson's not sure, or he's, I mean, air quotes, not sure if it's Hillstead or Kubla got quarterback. Does it matter when you play at San Diego State at this point? Because San Diego State's just, oh, they're awful. They lost 6-0 to Nevada. 6-0. I can't stress that hard enough. 6-0 they lost to Nevada.
Well, they've had 2 weeks to sit and think on it, so.
Is that good or bad, man? I'm just saying, like, I would be frustrated beyond belief.
I mean, that has to be a good thing. You know, you just got your ass kicked the worst way possible.
And it was close. You know, a winnable ass
kick. And it was close, yeah. It was close, and they got their ass kicked. So it's just like, It has to be frustrating for them. It's at home. Students don't show up. They don't get a lot of fan support, so I don't know.
It's also super expensive parking and other stuff, which is annoying for fans there.
Yeah. I know, that's why a lot of people say you should park somewhere else and just take the trolley.
That's why I did it. I know Legion Stadium's different. When I was there, I got $20 parking, like, within 8-minute walk, pretty quick, not bad. I got all these emails, hey, you want to park on campus, or park on stadium parking lot, stadium site, you're right there. $85. I'm like, hard pass.
For one game?
Yeah, for one game.
That's a season-long parking pass to CSU.
That should be most places. Like, I could legit see, I guess season pass is different than game pass, obviously, but like, if I know it's an NFL stadium, so that's probably part of it too. But
it's not. That's the thing, is it's not.
What do you mean?
It only holds 35,000.
Oh, no, I meant where I was at. Sorry, apologies. I mean Allegiant. Now this, I don't know what they're thinking, making it 50 plus bucks to parking. But like, for season pass, like, if you're a She's a ticket holder. It shouldn't cost more than $200 to park at most stadiums, I would think, at reasonable Mountain West size. Like $20 a game. You know what I mean? Like that should be, I don't know. I should
clarify. All parking passes at CSU are $100. Yeah. However, different parking lots have different donation requirements.
Oh, of course, yes. When I looked at getting tickets years ago for University of Utah season tickets, you had to do that minimum donation. I'm like, screw this, I'm good. Like, I'm okay. It's whatever. But this game, so do you want... Oh, yes, go ahead.
I was just going to say, CSU at least has some that don't require a donation.
I think Utah had every... Lowest one, I think, was a $500 donation. I'm like, no.
All right.
So Ryan Lindley, do you want to know the one word he called this game? The Nevada game?
Crap.
A hiccup.
Okay.
He's like, oh my God, like his quote's like, the worst thing hands down about football is that you can't get in the saddle for another week. I'm like, what is he? I get it. No, I understand what he's saying, but it just sounds weird. Where they're off, they have the off week. They lost 6-0 against one of the worst teams in college football. Their offense is just a disaster. And he does mention, like, oh, we're pretty happy how we're internalizing it because people are punching the wall somewhere when you're not looking.
But they're not good defensively either.
Yeah. Like, he gets real. Like, it's embarrassing. Everybody felt that way, which is a good way to own it, which you should. And you want to get back out there and play. So maybe they're practicing harder, working more to try to get a win, to do something positive. But Utah State, I don't think it matters who starts, Hillstead or Legault. They're both within the same range. Like, the outcome for both quarterbacks are within 10% of each other. I don't see there being a big swing either guy. So I don't think it matters who Utah State throws up against them. But it's funny here. It's like, this is the same team that put 21 points on the fourth quarter against Hawaii. Well, it's also Hawaii. And you should have done that. They put up points against Boise State, whose defense isn't great, in my opinion. They're okay. They're getting better. But Lindsay's like, at this point, we're working on the fundamentals. I'm like, if you're working on fundamentals in week 10, there's a problem.
Did you see the over-under for this game?
57.5? What? No way.
I don't know if they'll reach 40.
Utah State's okay. Utah State can score some points. They scored 38 versus James Madison. They scored 30-plus in all but two games, I think, if I'm correct here. Yeah, they put up 21 versus San Jose State. That's their one under. Iowa was 14. And then, no, just two games, if I'm correct. Yeah, because they scored 30 versus Fresno and lost. If that's going to happen, Utah State has to do a lot of the heavy lifting if it's going to get 57.5.
Oh, yeah. I'm saying 27-20.
You said,
I know it's over 40, but.
Okay. You think? Wait, hold on. You think San Diego State can score 20 points?
Against this defense, yeah.
Good point. But you're right about saying San Diego State has no elite defense. They have no passing game. Their running game is just not really all that good. They're a team that has no identity when their defense is just barely average, right?
Yep.
I don't think they're getting... I'm going 33-10 Utah State. We don't do like locks of the week or guarantee whatever because they're kind of dumb or lame. But I think this one... I think take Utah State to cover and take the under. I don't think that's an easy play, right?
Yeah, that's what I'd probably go with.
Final game of the day. Big game of the day. 7 p.m. Pacific, CBS Sports Network. Fresno State hosting Boise State. Fresno is a slight 2.5-point favorite. Is Boise still doing that 2-quarterback thing? Is that their plan?
Yes.
Why?
Because it
worked last week?
Someone, I don't know if it was posted in our chat or not, or maybe I just saw it on someone's Twitter account, but they were doing the percentages of Taylen Green and Maddox Mattson, and Mattson was, you know, progressively getting more, and eventually I think he had 78% of the snaps against Wyoming last week.
But he's not taking any of the practice snaps, right?
No, he's taking like 20% of them.
So stupid. What are you doing?
I've talked about this ad nauseam, but he's the better quarterback for the offense. like get bring Taylen Green in to as you yeah. know mm-hmm. as the special attraction, you know, as the Cosart package.
Oh boy.
But Maddox Mason needs to be the starting quarterback because he can run this offense. He can get this offense moving down the field.
You mean, wait, translation, he can throw the ball and get the guys who can catch it?
Yes.
That's what he does? You know, like, what a quarterback typically does? So that's what you're telling me, right?
He can, like, he can at least give his receivers a chance. Like, some of the throws that Taylen is making, like, just what are you throwing at type of throws?
He also has 5 picks to 2. So there's that. So this game will be interesting because I assume they're going to do the same scenario, same situation, where why wouldn't they? It's worked last week versus Wyoming. I do think the big thing is George Trotter being healthy.
Now the question is Genty healthy?
Yeah, oh yeah, bring that up too because he didn't play in the second half last week, I believe it was. So if Genty is out, that's obviously a bigger blow than Helani because Genty is clearly their number one running back. I'm trying to see if like RotoWire has something real quick. I kind of forgot about the injury situation, but like he's so good. Like he had 200 yards against San Diego State like last month. He is put on the midseason watch list for the Maxwell Award. So I don't know, man. I'm trying to see if there's any update. I don't think there was no. Was a lower leg injury? I believe is that what they called it?
I forget.
I'm trying to see if he's pulled up here in any injury reports. I can find like on RotoWire or something. But if he doesn't go, if he's not fully healthy, that's a clear issue. Because Helani's back. Maybe Helani can pick up and do just as good. But I don't trust him.
I think they still have Helani on a pitch count.
They have.
I think they'll lean more on Dunbar. Or Dubar, excuse me.
And then
if they don't, they'll just, you know, throw more. I mean, they only threw 21 times. They threw 21 times against Wyoming and ran the ball 50.
Crazy. Well, also Dubar got those goal line carries too, if I recall, inside the 10.
I believe he got the touchdown.
So he got those. And then we look at Fresno. So Mickey Keene's more healthy. They should be favored by more. I don't know why it's such a close line. They're 7-1. Is it because
they have to be based on what happened last week and the fact that it's technically a trophy game? Or I should say technically. It is a trophy game.
Ooh, which one is it? Is it Milk Can, right?
Yeah, it's Milk Can.
Sorry, Milk Can. So and they seemed all right. Like Boise's lost and won. They both won against each other. Fresno won the title on the blue and the Ronnie Rivers touchdown to the corner.
Is that the controversy one where like Fresno had just beaten Boise or something like that?
They played back to back weeks.
Yeah.
I don't remember which one it was. I don't recall. I do remember that was one where they played back to back. But I don't see why it's this close. Boise had one good game last week. Fresno barely beat UNLV. It's like, but UNLV is a good team. Like they're not terrible, obviously.
To be fair, they also barely beat Utah State.
Yeah, there's that loss.
They lost to Wyoming.
Yeah, their past month has been okay. But we know that because they only beat Nevada 27-9. They're +8 versus ASU and won 29-0 or +7, whatever it was.
It's just a matter of which Fresno State team shows up.
Yeah, because Fresno's projected to win like by 60%, which makes sense in FPI. Like they have Mickey Keene, good quarterback. They have I think they have pretty good playmakers on the outside, but like Boise, I don't know why. Like they're not playing that much better. Lost to CSU, barely beat San Jose State, lost to Memphis, they barely beat San Diego State.
You have to remember Boise State was hurt a lot. They finally got back a number of starters against Wyoming.
I don't know
if they're taking that to account with the line, but it is something to watch, you know, especially if Genty can go, because if Genty can go and it was just, you know, a one game thing, like it might come down to the last possession.
I think it could, yes. If Genty plays in Boise, because when they played Wyoming, Wyoming's no slouch overall, we know. And had Wyoming had Whaley, maybe it's a different story or more production out there. I do think it'll be closer regardless. If Genty plays and Helani's healthy and also, the offensive line is finally healthy for Boise, and that's the same one. They haven't given up that many sacks. I do think they have a chance to win. They were impressive versus Wyoming for a majority of the game. Yeah. Where Fresno settles for field goals sometimes. They don't finish drives as efficiently as you'd like to. Trying to see what the red zone percentage is. But I do say this, they have the better quarterback. They have better defenders on this Fresno State team. They are playing. It seems like they play closer to their competition than who they're better than. But again, they're also freaking 7-1. But they can be explosive when needed. Like, look at the UNLV game, scoring 21 points that third quarter. But I'm just... The reason I'm hesitant is Boise showed up last week to be a good team. Like, if Sherrod, is he going to get good production this game this year? Or this week, I should say. They have plenty of good receivers. Eric Brooks, Jalen Moss, Jalen Gill. They have all these receivers, so they can spread to a lot of players in touchdowns, too, with the 23 touchdowns.
Might be the difference maker for me, because I know Boise doesn't have that good of a secondary.
Nope. And that's probably, I agree, that's probably going to be a difference, because they throw to so many. It's not just that he has 23 touchdowns, for the team, I should say, because Logan Fife, and then maybe Gill will get another. He's 2-for-2 with 2 touchdown passes. Pretty good percentage there as a wide receiver throwing the ball. Fresno has a better quarterback. They have the better receiving group. They don't have the better running backs that goes toward Boise, regardless if it's Lonnie or Genty or both or Dubar. Like, Fresno has, like, Gilliam and Sherrod, so good combo. But overall, not quite there. Defense, Boise secondary is not very good. Fresno State has a bunch of guys. Nobody elite. I guess Jacob Holmes has 4 sacks. It's obviously pretty good. So there's that to consider. But I think Fresno is going because they have the better offense. Passing the ball, I think that's why. But it's going to be pretty close. I think there'll be at least 30 points maybe for both teams.
I don't know about that.
You don't think it'll hit 60?
I'm saying 31-30.
For who?
It'll be very close to see if they both get to 30.
So who has your 31 points, though?
Fresno.
Fresno's a good one. I agree Fresno's a good one as well. I think Boise kind of drops back down a bit. I'm going to go 30-17 Fresno State.
I don't know if Fresno's going to cover that much.
Yeah. They got this. Trust me. They got this.
Fresno's going to win. Okay. I just don't think it's going to be 13 points.
Okay. I like close games, but I just kind of think, like, maybe it'd be closer because Fresno's defense not the same. I'll make a change. I'll go 30-20 for Fresno. I think they'll win. Where Boise will kick a couple field goals and Fresno will get touchdowns, and that'll be the difference.
Okay.
Anything else to add for week 10?
Nope. I'm all good for me.
All my picks are good. They're going to win, so trust me only, not Josh. It's okay. Yeah, right. That's never going to happen. MWR.com. Check everything out we have for this weekend. If you like this show and we screw around, hey, just go in. I want more of this next week, next time. Do that, please. Have a great weekend. Good luck to your Rams, Josh. See if they can beat one. I mean, we'll see how that goes. But
we'll see.
Yep, and we'll see you next time, everybody.